Episode 227, January 18th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
How about that for some production, Joe Robinson?
Yeah, I knew. I was actually the one who broke the news to Robbie Robinson that Glenn Frey had passed. And I knew we had some celebrity deaths, but I knew that one. I knew that one was going to get him.
How did you tell him? Did you just warn him first? Did you say, are you sitting down? Did you call? Did you text?
I left him a voicemail.
Ooh.
Robbie, was that poor form?
No, not really.
Was it a punch to the gut when it came out, when I revealed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew Robbie would not be okay with this. It's his favorite band, the Eagles.
Robbie dislikes the movie Le Big Lebowski just because Lebowski doesn't like the Eagles.
Yes, it's a character, by the way, that doesn't like the Eagles. By the way, the cab driver throws him out of the cab for not liking the Eagles. I mean, there's some redemption there, but Robbie, he can't hear that.
He's still the hero of the movie.
Yeah, but it's not like you look at him and say, that guy, that's a guy I want to be like. No, he's still a loser, right?
Right, he's a loser in real life. So it's not like he's, yeah. The fact that he hates the Eagles makes liking the Eagles look like a better idea.
He's the main character. I have to sympathize with him. I have to like him. And he's turned me off already, so I can't.
Already? That's like an hour and a half into the movie.
Yeah. I had other problems with the movie.
All right. It's not about the Big Lebowski today. It's about Glenn Frey. As a matter of fact, it probably wasn't even 3 months ago I mentioned Glenn Frey on this show. I had watched the documentary. I think it's called History of the Eagles. Is that correct, Robbie?
It is. History of the Eagles Part 1 and 2.
And it is fucking outstanding. I would recommend anybody even if you're Mr. Lebowski, you still want to check this out because it's a great story. But one of the things that I loved, it was a quote from Glenn Frey. This thing's like, what is it, like 5 hours long, Robbie? But there's a quote from Glenn Frey. They fired Randy Meisner from the band. He was the original bassist. They fired him from the band. And the reason they fired him from the band was because he wouldn't sing Take It to the Limit. He sang a song that was a hit for the Eagles, and he wouldn't sing it. And he was like, listen to me, we owe it to our fans. They're spending hundreds of dollars and traveling hundreds of miles to hear you play that song. You're not going to fucking play it. You're going to play it. And he kicked him out of the band. And I love that because I'd seen too many times seeing bands. I just saw Morrissey, you know, the Smiths, probably my favorite band of all time. I go to see Morrissey. He plays three songs I know. One of them is Meet His Murder, which is probably the worst Smith song. It's because he's tired of his own songs. I'm not. I'm not tired of his songs. I want to hear hits. I don't want to hear something he wrote in the dressing room before the show started. So that's
you always owe it to the audience to give them what they're there to hear.
People want to hear my pie plate closer. I'm not going to not do it.
You didn't do it on the one show I saw you. We'll get to that. But we've had a bad week. I mean, 2016 is the year of the death so far. I think just in this past week since we last did a show, we had David Bowie, Alan Rickman, and Glenn Frey. I mean,
those are
that's
huge.
Unprecedented, right?
I just want to say I knew that he was sick because they were supposed to be inducted as Kennedy Center honor recipients this year.
Well, that would have been good,
and
too.
The reason that they weren't.
They still will.
Yeah. No, they postponed it till next year. The reason they postponed it was because Glenn Frey couldn't attend because he was sick.
You know what? I feel very grateful because Robbie and I went to go see the Eagles. When did we see him, Robbie? About 2005?
I think it was 2000. I think so.
And, you know, I mean, well, there'll never be another chance to see him. You know, they toured. I remember reading that somebody saying, hey, I'm going to go see the Eagles. Now, this is the truth. It wasn't my favorite concert. And the reason is because I've probably mentioned this before. Most of their songs are low tempo.
You know what I mean? Have a lot of ballads in low tempo with your brother.
A lot, right, exactly. A lot of low tempo, you know. And I, you know, concerts are, you know, that's why I don't like Buffett concerts. I wouldn't go see James Taylor, and I saw Paul Simon, didn't like it. Because I want to, you know, when I'm out in a crowd, I want that energy. You want to rock. Sure. You know, there are better bands than, say, Kiss. But I'd rather see Kiss in concert than see, you know, the Eagles. Obviously, I'm sitting in my house. I'd rather listen to the Eagles. But if I'm going to be out, but still, it was a privilege to have seen them. And I'm, you know, I'm pretty sure Robbie's the reason that I saw them. So thanks, because I don't know that I would have seen them, and I'm glad that I did.
We did see him without Don Felder, though.
That doesn't kill me.
Did the other deaths hit you guys hard at all?
I think my order is. And it's funny because I love Bowie. As a matter of fact, my youngest son, James, loves Bowie. We talk about him all the time. We talk about his music. But he was third in line because, you know, I've said forever that the greatest bad guy in my lifetime in film history that really resonated with me was Hans Gruber. I loved Rickman. And that was before I knew anything else.
If he's not as awesome a character, the movie doesn't work.
I mean, listen, not that, listen.
It doesn't work as well.
Bruce Willis does a great job in the movie, but I generally think, I don't know, he's real cool. I think that was kind of he was born to play that. But it would have been a lot easier for other people to pull off what Willis did versus what Rickman did. Robbie, you agree with that?
It could have been Mel Gibson.
Yes, of course. Rickman has the more difficult acting role.
And then he just goes on to just slay every role he's ever in. But so much so that, I mean, I still say, you know, stay diehard quotes. And then when we wrote our murder mystery, we wrote it, you know, with the characters, names from the characters from Die Hard. I was Bill Clay. He's not even a character in the movie. He's a character that Rickman pretends he is to save his life when he runs into John McClane. And I don't think this is everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Everybody's seen Die Hard, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Amy Michelle Berger hadn't, but then Amy Michelle Berger went out and saw it because of our murder mystery. But I say went out and saw it as if it was at the theater.
And of course, my kids, you know, they're right at the age where Harry Potter was an important thing to them. We went to see every Harry Potter movie. I know I told the story where the last one we put lightning bolts on our foreheads. And then when we got there, there were people that were in full Voldemort costumes. So I wiped the lightning bolt off. I wanted to walk in there like a douche. But yeah, we went to see all of them, and he was. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure he was the best character in this series of amazing characters.
Now, Marcus, you work at a classic rock station, or you work in the radio stations. So, was it all Eagles today, and was it all David Bowie last week?
It was. No, we didn't go full throttle with it, but we did increase our rotation because of it. But I was at the radio station when the news broke. Today for Glenn Frey, and it was like getting hit by a brick. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I was getting ready to do some voice work myself and had to delay because we had to rework the whole music log for the day and tomorrow because of it. Thinking about, okay, what are we going to do programming wise? And so the whole It was odd because I didn't really have time to process, because all of a sudden we went into, okay, what are we going to do in order to, one, get the news out, and two, to celebrate and honor this man who has obviously made an impact. And we had to do the same thing last week with David Bowie. I'll say for my own self, David Bowie was more impactful than Glenn Frey, but both of them obviously huge in the music industry.
Well, I think Bowie gets, he's the cooler of the two because he's more alt. He's less mainstream. And I think because of that, he maybe has a respect that you don't see go to these guys who were just so outstanding that they had this amazing commercial success. But the fact of the matter is that the Eagles are probably two times as important as David Bowie, in spite of whatever these lists that come out have to say. And matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that you can't list the greatest American bands, even the top three, without mentioning the Eagles. I don't even know who else is in the conversation. Maybe if you can, do you consider Smokey Robinson and the Miracles a band? CCR.
No.
But at the end of the day,
I consider CCR a band. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they are obviously, but you'd have to say the Eagles. I mean, I think they're the greatest American rock band in history.
But Joe, I'll debate you on this fact, and yes, I will put the Eagles as a band at the top of that list. But David Bowie, not only as an artist doing his own work, but the things that he did collaboratively in writing and producing with John Lennon, with Michael Jackson,
with Freddie Mercury,
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I want to make it, it's important for me to say, don't think for 2 seconds I think one sucks and one is amazing, right? I mean, that's not it. I mean, it's a very small fall from one to two if we're talking about how important they were. And I also know that I'm in the minority because, again, it's very cool to discuss Bowie's influence because, again, you weren't going to necessarily hear him on a pop station. Right, you weren't. You were going to hear
a little more artistic cred.
Right, exactly. It's a credit. It's artists. Almost like, you know, the Hedberg versus
Brian Regan or something.
Right, exactly. Right. People are going
to
say,
"Well, here's a question." Yeah. When Michael Jackson died, I was literally driving to a gig with Mickey Coachella. Well, I wasn't with Mickey, but I was driving to a gig when I was going to work with Mickey. And you know, obviously every station was playing Michael Jackson, the biggest star of all time. So I said this at the show, and I used it as a joke, and I'm wondering if I could update it today. I said, you know, I drove in today, and every station was playing Michael Jackson. You know, he died, obviously. It's horrible. But every station, every song was Michael Jackson. The radio never sounded so good. I can't wait till the day until all we hear on the radio is Britney Spears.
That's funny.
The joke that she, so can I tell that today? I wouldn't say Spears. I don't know who I would say, but could I say, hey, it's been a tough week in music, but look, I've been hearing Bowie and the Eagles all the time. I can't wait till Justin Bieber's on every station. Is that going to work?
I don't think that Glenn Frey is as recognizable as Michael Jackson by a factor.
Nobody.
Five. Right. But I also believe that Glenn Frey is a much more, this is going to sound kind of weird because he never sucked.
When did Michael Jackson suck?
I don't know, the last 15 years of his career, Blood on the Dance Floor and on. He didn't have another hit after he did Dangerous. He ended up putting.
Did he only have one album after that? I guess, yeah.
Well, he was, you know, he was basically shamed and yeah. An accused pedophile. But again, I mean, that's not.
Is that a bad thing?
But you know what's weird about Glenn Frey is that I have so much respect for him, especially because, you know, the ego. Think about the ego. He is a great singer. He also sang songs that are 40 years. They'll stand the test of time. Songs like Take It Easy, Peaceful Easy Feeling. And he decided near the end of the Eagles' run to stop singing songs, basically, because he knew that Don Henley was in the band and probably had one of the top, you know, I don't know, I don't want to throw a number on it, but one of the top voices in rock music history. And so he basically stopped singing songs. Although Robbie Robinson's favorite Eagles song is sung by Glenn Frey. Do you know what it is?
I do not.
I do.
Well, of course you know it, Robbie. It's your favorite. New Kid in Town is his favorite song.
I don't even know that song.
I prefer Glenn Frey's voice because it's a little dirty. I don't. I listen, technically, of course, Henley's a better singer, but
I don't even know about technically. It's the tone that makes him, that makes him stand out. And you know, I mean, it's funny because even when he does duets, like, you know, I think Leather and Lace, the song he did. But quick, can I tell a quick story? Sorry. I'm going to nerd out a little
bit. But I do want to wrap up the... I want to wrap up talking about these three guys with something.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. But remind me, I do want to tell a song, a story about the Leather and Lace, but go ahead.
Okay. We're being not funny so far, so let's try to take a twist on this. Glenn Frey, David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Mary Fuck Hill, go.
Me? Mm-hmm. I'm going to marry Glenn Frey. I'm going to fuck Alan Rickman, and I'm going to kill David Bowie. But that's a tough one, though, because, you know, I mean, David Bowie might be getting married and win a lot of other scenarios with other artists.
So you said you're going to marry Glenn Frey, you said?
Yes, that's right.
And you're fucking Hans Gruber.
Correct.
You're killing Bowie. Robbie?
I would marry Alan Rickman because he seems like he'd be the most easy to get along with. Right. I would have to fuck David Bowie because he liked men too, so he's probably the best. And then I'd have to kill Glenn Frey.
Wow,
the favorite of the three you'd kill?
If it's for me personally, you know,
I definitely took that as who would I need alive the most? Robbie actually, he sexualized.
No, that's why I wanted an answer. That Robbie, that's my answer. I mean, you got to fuck Bowie. He's probably banged. Well, the rumors. I'm sure he's banged dudes. And I mean, I Alan Rickman and Hans Gruber is closer to my heart than the Eagles. So that's to marry Alan Rickman.
Well, I made a mistake then, because I went who I wanted alive.
Well, as usual, Joe, you can't play the game.
It's funny because I always think about that whenever they include, you know, like people like Robbie and all that stuff. I'm like, well, I can't kill him, so I always have to marry or fuck him. You follow what I'm saying?
Why can't you kill him?
We're just talking about it sexually. I might change that. Although Robbie would make me a mixtape.
You'd rather bang your brother than kill him? What did you just say?
I don't know. Something.
What? I mean, look, we hear about people killing like family members all the time, but you know.
No, I clearly would rather bang him than kill him. If somebody said, hey, we're going to kill your brother, if you don't bang him, I'd have to bang him.
We're
right?
Going to have to beg to differ on that.
Don't kill me, Robbie. Just let me just be gentle.
I mean, could kill him. He could die instantly. So it's painless. There will not be any. The sex will be painful. Emotionally,
could I ask him what he wanted?
What are the choices? There's no good choices. Oh, that sounds nice.
So if I said, well, no, obviously they're not nice. It's the same reverse of what I said to Marcus earlier about Bowie and Frey. They're all awful, but you have to pick one. But if I said to Robbie, listen, would you rather die or do you want me to fuck you? And if he
I thought you meant pick how he's going to have sex, how you're going to have sex with him. Like
no, well, I know what I would have, want to have sex with him. Eyes closed and in the back.
Robbie's going to make you speak in like an Asian accent or something. So he
Gramps just wrote in chat, I didn't teach them this.
Sorry, Gramps. That was Mac's favorite moment of the show. Let's
Gramps,
take a break.
I bang you to save your life too, sir.
I think I'd kill myself before I'd bang any of you guys. Rob and Joe show, be right back.
Hi, it's Justin Schlegel from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. And if you're like me and from Baltimore, you can't get enough of murder. So why not show up to The Last Laugh? Avalon Theater, Easton, Maryland, Friday, January 29th. It's a hilarious, unexpected, interactive, live comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. I'm going to be starring in it, and you could as well if you get selected from the audience to take part in this murder mystery. There's going to be laughs, there's going to be killings, there's going to be some really salacious language, and some great prizes at the end. Avalon Theater, Easton, Maryland, Friday, January 29th. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. The Last Laugh, Avalon Theater, Friday, January 29th. I'm going to continue to repeat these details until it sinks into your dumb concrete brain. Avalon Theater, Easton, Maryland, Friday, January 29th. I don't know what else to say. Attend. Attend the fucking show.
Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit facebook.com/Die Laughing Productions or robinjoe.com.
now back to the Robin Joe Show.
I'm gonna meet Marcus in 3 days up at the Comics Comedy Club with Mohegan Sun in Connecticut with David Koechner. Marcus, you said before the show that you have questions on how to be a comedy audience member. Have you never been to a comedy show?
I have. I've gone to a few in New York, but I felt like when I called Comics to figure out where to sit, get my seating done because I got VIP tickets.
Comics is the name of the club in case people were unsure.
There was a lot of questions. There was a lot of things that she wanted to know. And so it made me start to wonder, like, is it the place? Did things change since the last time I went to a stand-up?
Yeah, I'm curious. What did she ask you?
Well, first she asked, she wanted to know whether or not I was willing to be picked on because she wanted to know whether or not I wanted to be close to the front or close to the back of the room.
I don't like that question. I don't like
that. Is weird,
she's
right?
Planting that seed because that just the thought that you might get picked on would turn off, I would say, most people.
I would think so. But at the same time, is that how you pick audience members or is that the comics that are asking them to ask those kind of questions?
No. And Rob and I guarantee you, Koechner did not ask that. I guarantee it. As a matter of fact, I never asked them to sit anybody up front, and I guarantee you Rob never has. And as soon as I go out there,
of course
I just start picking on whoever's there. Whatever I
the
find
DC
their
Improv
flaws.
Sits people on based on when they order their tickets. They're not like they're planning people that might be better up front or in the back. It's just when you order your ticket, that's the seat you get.
Yeah, and some people, you know, I mean, I don't know if people assume they're going to get picked on, but I always assume that they know they're going to get talked to. Sometimes you'll start talking to somebody and they'll resist. And I think Rob is the same way. I will force them. I don't move on.
I'll move on.
It depends on how vehement they are, right? I mean, it depends on where they're drawing their line in the sand. You know, because usually you can get them talking.
You will talk to them right off the bat, and that's just to get laughs off talking to them. I'm usually talking to people to segue into a joke I want to tell.
But I do that too. Well, matter of fact, that's exactly why I do it. Because, you know, I'm going to find out.
But I see you just talking because you just want to talk to them and don't want to tell your jokes.
Yeah, it's true.
What are you concerned about, Marcus? What is it your role now you're concerned about as a crowd member that you have to – what are you concerned about having to do or not do?
I'm actually not concerned because as I told the woman on the phone, I said, look, at my age, I've done so many embarrassing things. There's not anything that a comic could possibly embarrass me more with. So I said, I have no problem sitting up front, so put me up front.
Is it a two-man show, Rob?
No, there's an MC.
Oh, I doubt you'll get picked on, Marcus. I think Rob's the same as me. I don't ever talk to somebody I know. You know,
like to have anyone up front that I know, ideally, because then there's inside jokes that I'll come to me because I'll see you, Marcus, and I'll want to take a shot at Robbie or something, and that won't make any sense to this audience that has no idea.
Or it's insincere.
I want to say Mermelstein every 5 seconds.
Or it's insincere. Like if you say, hey, what's your name? Well, you know, which you would never do. You can't reference it. Right. Oh, hey, it's Marcus Serta. Well, who the fuck's Marcus Serta? Nobody knows who you are. So if you were in the front row, I would not talk to you.
So should I move to the back? Would that make you feel better? I mean, I can move.
Honestly, I don't care.
Yeah, he wouldn't care.
I don't want you to do anything. Whatever you've already done is fine.
Well, okay, so it led me to thinking about what it's like to be an audience member in stand-up, and I've heard you guys talk about being stand-ups and how audiences respond to you, but what is an audience supposed to do? If I sat down and I ordered an old-fashioned, I assume that you would treat me differently than if I ordered a pina colada sitting in the front row. Or the way that I dress, should I dress semi-formally? Should I dress formally? Should I just wear my Birkenstocks and a t-shirt?
No, you wear what you're comfortable wearing. Yeah, you don't have to wear what you would normally wear.
Yeah, and don't wear one of the hats with the two beers on the side. I mean, sombrero. Don't be a clown. You normally would wear would be fine.
And you're asking questions, and this is the most important thing. You're not part of the show. Now, you know, I know you know this. Yes. But that's, you ask how an audience, here's how an audience member should behave. If you're asked a question, answer it and don't yell anything out.
Yeah, you know, if you think it's funny, laugh. And the most important part, if you don't think it's funny, your only thing is, you know what you do then? You don't laugh. You don't boo. You don't get offended. You don't comment that that was too far or that was wrong or in poor taste. You don't laugh. That's how you respond to something you don't like. That's really all you do.
Katie said in chat, Joe shit on a couple for 30 minutes on what they wore, but just said, wear whatever you want. That was the older couple with the matching Argyle sweaters.
Well, how can you not?
Yeah, that, what am I supposed to do? Not act like that didn't happen?
Look, Marcus, if you show up with your buddy, some guy, and you're dressed the same, I mean, I'm going to fuck with you. I mean, who would?
Of course.
But I would do that if we weren't at a comedy club. We were just out at Applebee's, I would do that.
No, I get that. And I understand how I'm supposed to be. When this woman asked me these questions, it just started getting me thinking. And the fact that it was probably something you guys hadn't discussed on the show, or at least I hadn't heard you discuss how you thought audience members should behave. And somebody else close to you guys told me I could not be funnier than the comics. And I believe I was making reference to the fact that I may hang out with you, maybe hang out with Dave Koechner, and have that opportunity at least. And I was told, don't be funnier than the comics.
Well, first of all, that's not going to be a problem. But the second thing is, no, nobody cares about that. Who said that? Who said don't be funnier than the comics? Don't try to be funnier.
Yeah, but if you have a good line and you say it, look, if someone in the audience says something funny, I'm going to repeat it and give you credit.
Of course.
Yeah, I left the word.
Make a thing out of that.
I left the word try out. I was being polite.
Oh, Robbie. See, he's sabotaging. He wants drama for next week's episode. I mean, you're seeing me, though. This is, if I have a show that doesn't go as well as I'd like, it's probably going to be the one you're at, Marcus, because it's a Thursday night. I don't know what the numbers are like on a Thursday. Now, Koechner, he's going to draw, I would imagine. So it'll probably be good. But anytime it's your first time ever at a club, it's new, you're not comfortable yet, even it's comedy, it's all the same to some point, but some degree, but still, it's a new club, new environment. I will have driven all day. I mean, this is the show, if I'm not at my best, it's going to be the Thursday show you're at, so thanks a lot.
But I'll bet you there'll be a crowd. Matter of fact, I just did a Thursday show at Magoobies with Kevin Brennan. There were about 30 people at the show, and there's this kid who he was the MC, Stutters. His name is Donnie Sengstack.
Donnie Sengstack. Hey, going to Maryland. He's just like you, a terp, Joe.
And he's probably, I think this is fair to say, he's the most likable male comedian in the area.
Yeah, he's got a baby face, very boyish. He's only 21, but I mean, if he said he was 15, you would believe him.
He's also like 5'8", and he stutters. So everybody likes him. Everybody roots for him. I mean, it would be very, very difficult for him to have a bad set, because as soon as he gets up there, people are like, okay, we want this guy to succeed. Nobody thinks that about me, right? And he's up there.
No, they're all rooting against you.
Right. He's up there Thursday, and I even texted Rob and Katie, and I said, I'm looking at watching Donnie, and he is eating it. I mean, he is bombing. And I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. It never occurred to me that I was going to go out there and bomb. That didn't cross my mind. Why would I bomb? I've been doing this forever, and I'm hilarious. And so I felt bad for the kid. And then I walked out there, and I proceeded to do the exact same thing.
Now, you were opening with this one line, and it crushed when I saw you. And it got nothing on that show.
Yeah, and I knew it was funny, so I kept it. But basically, I walked out there because right before he brings me up, he talks about filling out the comment cards, right? And when I get out there, I'd like, give it up for Donnie. He's so adorable. Like, wouldn't it be hilarious if I also stuttered? You'd be like, enough with the stutters, right? You're writing on the comment card, too many stutters. So I literally said that five shows in a row, and four of it, they just, you saw it one time, and just, they loved it.
Yeah, of course, it's funny.
Well, the time that I said that Thursday, they were like, you're right, I wouldn't like it if you stuttered.
There's that weird thing, though, in his set, because he's not introduced as the stuttering comedian. It's Donnie Sengstack. You know, you can't look at someone and say they stutter. It's not like you know. And so he looks young. He's clearly young, so he's inexperienced, you're thinking in the audience. So when he starts stuttering at first, I think people are thinking, oh, my God, he's nervous, this poor kid. And that's an uncomfortable feeling. It's awkward.
Yeah, but I think you told him this, and then I told him as well. I think when he started out, he waited a little while to talk about his stutter.
Yeah, too long.
And both you and I separately said, hey, you need to address it right away. So then they're comfortable. Then you need to disarm them. And so that's what he does. And he does it pretty quickly. He did it his first joke every single show that I saw. But he also stutters while he's telling it. So there is a little teeth.
Right. There always is going to be that moment.
Yeah.
And then there's also the thing, are people like, wait, is this his act that he jokes, that he stutters? Is that like his hook? But it's no, he stutters.
Yeah, but I think he's really funny.
He's very funny, but I don't think people could sit through 45 minutes of that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, there was a guy on America's Got Talent.
I don't know. I also think he's funny. Now, it's funny because I was even talking to Kevin Brennan in the back. I'm like, God, it's got to be difficult because, timing is important. Like, I know exactly when I'm going to say my punchline. I know exactly how I'm going to say it. I'm going to know the cadence. And even if I'm just doing crowd work, I'm like, all right, I'm going to say this way, and that's going to allow me to get the laughs I want. But if I'm at the mercy of this affliction, I can't imagine how difficult that is. But I'll tell you what, he's got some good jokes, man. He has this one joke about Taco Bell breakfast. He said it's like the new Fall Out Boy album. Nobody asked for it. I just thought it was fucking hilarious.
No, he has an act that's not about stuttering. I mean, obviously he has jokes about it, but he has real jokes that's not about his affliction.
There was a guy on America's Got Talent this last season who stuttered. I couldn't take him for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. As a matter of fact, he does a joke that is exactly like the joke that that Justin Schlegel does about the stuttering GPS.
Yeah.
Right.
And he actually stutters when he does it. And I'm thinking, how's he going to do that? Because the whole idea is you miss your turn. Well, what if he stutters while he's saying that? You follow what I'm saying? Then what if he stutters during the punchline? He doesn't even get that out. But, whatever. I mean, that's their problem.
Whatever. But you did, you didn't do what you never, you screwed up like you always screw up. That's what I'm trying to say, Joe. You, in your intro, which I assume you give to Donnie, no mention of the Rob and Joe show. Then you do your set. You killed. Thank you. Good night. No mention of Rob and Joe. No mention of the murder mystery. No mention of the date, April 3rd, at Magoobies for the murder mystery.
Yeah, nothing, and you know what's
nothing.
Now, can I say this in my defense?
No, but you're going to.
Yeah. What I do is I'm insecure just like everybody else, right? And when I have a performance like I have on Thursday, you know what I did after my set?
Left.
I left. I went in, I got my jacket, and I got in my car, and I left as quickly as possible so nobody from the going to the bathroom could see me. No one could see me. Now, after my both Friday shows and both Saturday shows, what do you think I did?
You hung out. You wanted to just get people to talk to
you. I waited for people
to
come by and tell me. Right. They appreciated me. And I was like, oh, man, thanks, man. Thanks for coming. Like, I was humbled. But I'm not. It's insecurity. I want to be affirmed. So when they do that, and by the way, if you're listening and you'll know I'm a phony. You know I'm a fraud. I'm standing there because I want accolades. I want affirmation. I do. It's a fact. But when they walk by, I always say, hey, we do a murder mystery there. And I'll bet you I told, no exaggeration, 100 people about the murder to come to the murder mystery. So look, I did my part.
That helped. That's more effective than just saying it to the masses. But it's just so easy to do.
Maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is. Maybe a personal invite will really get somebody there. I don't know.
Well, you know that person likes you if they approached you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's more of a targeted.
Maybe, and I also talked about my podcast to those same people. So, you're right. I should definitely say it on stage. I seem to not be. But by the way, even when we do our thing at the end of the murder mystery, I always go to you and go, here, mop up, Rob, because I know I forget stuff. I don't.
Right.
I don't even know how to give the Facebook page. I don't know how to give it.
Die Laughing Productions on Facebook.
So I wait.
How about this? I'm going to, right now, if you saw Joe Robinson for the very first time this past week at Magoobies, and you were directed to this podcast because of talking to him, reach out to us somehow on our Facebook, Rob and Joe Show, at Rob and Joe Show on Twitter. Now, Joe, how surprised would you be if somebody actually reaches out?
You know what? I'll bet somebody does.
Really?
Yes, okay. I'll bet somebody
how
does.
How long are we allowing this to happen?
A week.
A week. You're
how
telling
do they reach
me
out?
This time
where do they go?
Week?
Like leave an iTunes comment? How do they reach out?
I will accept. Well, someone could cheat it, though. That's the thing.
Well, who's me? I'm not going to cheat it. I don't know how to cheat it.
Eric the actor or somebody, you know.
Yeah, but Eric the actor is not looking to help me.
And that's true.
I think we're safe.
All right. If they reach out, it could be on iTunes comment. It could be a Stitcher comment. It could be Facebook. It could be an email. It could be anything. Anyway, and then said, hey, I saw Joe at Magoobies, and then list the show, the date. And $20 is yours, Joe.
$20?
Yeah, and if you're wrong, $20 is mine.
That's a lot. Let's go 10, because I'm not so sure.
$10.
Can I say one more thing that happened at the show?
Yeah.
So I didn't even tell girlfriend Katie this. Ooh. So, you know, I do this. My first 5 minutes of my act after crowd work is about me kind of trying to find my way as a single man, right?
Yeah, now, your act is not at all about your life.
What's that?
Yeah, your act is like years behind your actual life.
Right, because I can't write new jokes real time. You know what I mean? I'm still living in those jokes, and they're working, so I'm still using them, right? Well, I do this part of the joke where I talk about how I have to date online, and I'm worried if I write exactly what I want in my profile, women won't like that. And then I say I'm looking for a whore,
right.
And then blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, after the show, I'm standing out there, and this woman comes up to me. This is after I said, in order to date me, you need to be a whore. That's what I said.
That's a good way to pick up whores.
She comes up to me and says, hey, Marcus just said the show title is going to be old jokes. Great. Anyway, so she comes up and goes, hey, we should date. Now, this is guess how old do you think this woman is?
42 years old.
She's 47 years old.
No, she's your age.
I said I was that age on stage. So she comes up and she goes, we should date. And I go, well, I have a girlfriend. I just tell those jokes on stage. But what I should have said is, I mean, this isn't going to come across. I'm going to come across as such a dick.
You are.
I was insulted that she thought I would date her.
The age or her level of attractiveness?
Her level of attractiveness. I'm a good-looking guy, and I'm hilarious.
Yeah, I mean.
And my girlfriend is a 10. Now, yes, my girlfriend is way out of my league. Yes, I know that. But even before her, I could still get in the sevens. I'm not in the fours.
But now, but you could have had sex with her that night, you think?
Of course I could have, but why would I do that? For many reasons.
So you're upset that she thinks that that's the kind of guy she could get you.
I would want somebody like her to look at me and say I could never get that guy. I don't want her coming up to me.
I don't think any woman has ever said that about you or me, that they could never get us.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't think women really think like that, like a man does. I mean, they obviously, like, I can never get Channing Tatum, some celebrity. Women think that. But I don't know. I think most women think that they could get, if it's just for sex, they can get most men.
Well, Katie could, but not just, you
know.
I'm
saying, like, I don't look at some 10 in a bar and a female and think I can go up to her and score.
Right. That's exactly my point.
I think a woman of my attractiveness level probably thinks they could go up to a male 10 in a bar and think they could close the deal.
You mean have sex with them?
Yes.
That's not what was offered to me.
But I mean, I think when she says date, I think that's her polite look, wink, wink way of saying have sex. You and I should date.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
She's not going to say you and I should fuck. I mean, that's super bold. But I think that's her mature way of saying.
But I just made it clear, and she didn't know I had a girlfriend, right? She didn't know I had a girlfriend. I made it clear that that's what she needed to say to get me.
No, you made it clear that you would date a whore. She walks up to you and says, we should date, saying, hey, I'm a whore.
Right. I guess maybe that is what she was letting me know.
And
but
if
yeah, but I was polite.
Maybe she'll be the one contacting us. She can
win you $10.
I swear
I was just thinking that. I mean, that would be awful, by the way.
Now she won't, though. She was about to.
By the way, that's happened to me before. I'm not going to tell the story again. But if she does hear that, she will go from literally thinking I'm amazing to me being her least favorite person on the planet.
Yeah, I like
that. That will happen if she listens to this show.
Did you get along with the headliner?
I did. I love the headliner. I did. He was a lot last year. Like,
a very surly guy, but he's cool.
He was a lot like me. And our acts are very similar, which I also like. It's very similar. He's a lot angrier than me.
Yeah, he's kind of bitter and angry, and you feel like I get the vibe that he hates living at home with his wife.
Oh yeah,
but he probably hates on the road. He probably is tired of having to go on the road and tell jokes too.
He had this great joke where he goes, yeah, people keep telling me, oh, your kids, they grow up so fast. He's like, mine are taking forever.
Kevin Brennan, that's his name.
Now, he's a really, really funny guy. I liked him. What's that?
Isn't he related to Neil Brennan?
I think he is. Yeah, it said brother Neil Brennan. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely like him. And I do exactly what I do when I like somebody. Nothing. I just be awesome. You know what I mean? I don't network because I don't want him to think I want anything other than his friendship. So I know never network.
Did you exchange email? Did you exchange any information?
Nope.
Yeah?
Didn't.
I think that with him, that's probably why.
I sent out a tweet saying, great weekend with Kevin Brennan and Donnie Singstack.
Did you tweet at him?
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's you did that.
That's all I did. Of course not. He's not that kind of guy. He only has twice as many Twitter followers as I do.
Yeah, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, he has 2,000 Twitter followers. When I get 32 more followers, I'm at 1,000.
Yeah, I'm only at 2,100 or something. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Hey, you want to tell your leather and lace story?
No, I mean, I'll tell it, but it's at this point, that ship has sailed, but yes.
Well, never mind. You're never going to hear it. Robin Joshua will be right back with No Leather and Lace.
Today's show is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Why mess with the traffic and hassle of your local shopping center? Face it, the weather sucks, the traffic sucks, and so do 90% of the people out there. So stay home and double-click your way to happiness. Amazon has everything for your home and your office, whether it's paperclips, coffee, clothes, electronics, nutrition pellets for your children, or cleaning supplies. If you need it, Amazon has it, and they're always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Amazon is the best way to save yourself some money while supporting the shows you love so much. Remember, click the Amazon banner at MikeOmaraShow.com and don't be afraid to bookmark it.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
I did this show Friday night in Alexandria for Operation Renewed Hope Foundation. That's for raise money for homeless veterans. It was, I crushed that thing. They were very appreciative audience. There was four of us. Everyone killed. It was a great show. But before the show, they had a guy playing guitar and singing. And this crowd, I would say 40 to 60, most of them. He's singing Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. I mean, it's not even like one of her big hits, right? It's not one of her top five songs.
Well, I mean, it's relevant now. Obviously, girlfriend Katie would be going crazy. But she would
it
be
seemed
one
like
of,
a weird choice.
Well, no, I only know that song because I'm dating a 20 something. I would never know it otherwise.
Well, if you were the DJ that night and you were going to play music, you wouldn't play that song.
I play a lot of Glenn Fry.
Anyway, we raise money. I'm a better person than you. Comedians are psychotic. That's what's been brought to our attention. Will Johnson, was that who did it? Who sent it to us on our Facebook?
Well, I don't know who sent it on our Facebook. I saw it.
Give him proper credit.
Comedian Wes Martin is who posted it where I read it on Facebook.
Yes, Will Johnson, friend of the show, friend of your show, Marcus, as well. He's been on the show, right? Hasn't he been on?
Yeah, number of times.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Comedians have psychotic personality traits, study finds. British Journal of Psychiatry. Sounds official to me. Researchers analyzed comedians from Australia, Britain, and the United States and found they scored significantly higher on four types of psychotic characteristics compared to a control group of people who had non-creative jobs. So I guess creative people are more crazy. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I couldn't agree more. I remember when I first started comedy and when I wasn't very good back in the 80s. Sorry, Katie. And I remember seeing Bob Summerby. Okay. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Bob Summerby is, but he's a local comic who then ended up having a radio show. But he was roommates with Tommy Lee Jones and Al Gore at Harvard. And this guy was a brilliant man and a brilliant comedian. And I remember after watching him perform at Slapsticks, that's how long ago this was, afterwards, you know, I'm starstruck by him.
Sure.
So I go back and I'm like, oh, man, you were so funny, blah, blah, blah. And he is the weirdest guy that I'd ever met. He's so odd. And that's when I'm like, wow, these. And then you see with this brilliance, a lot of times comes this psychosis. So that didn't surprise me at all. And I think about, you know, some of the people, the funniest people that I know, you know, Justin Schlegel, batshit crazy. Mickey Coachella, yeah, batshit crazy. Right. Totally. I'm trying to think of the other people from this area that are the funniest people, but a lot of them, you know, they're nuts.
Stork's a little crazy.
Yes, of course. Stork's nuts.
Yeah. But you and I aren't crazy.
I'm not, but I mean, that I don't think they're saying everybody's crazy, but I mean, listen, we got our issues. You know, we're not super, super grounded.
No, we got issues.
I mean, socially, we're very good, but I mean, obviously, I just told a story where when I do well, I have to stand where everybody can walk by me so I can feel good about myself. I don't feel my performance wasn't good enough. I now need people to come tell me that they appreciate me so I can sleep at night.
But Robbie's the craziest of the three.
Yeah, by far. But Robbie's also the most, he's the highest genius level in terms of art. Robbie is. I mean, I don't know if you know what Robbie is capable of, but, you know, I mean, in terms of what he can do, drawing, sculpting, painting, things like that, I mean, he's on a different level. And then he's also transposed.
He is more artistically gifted than we are?
He's way more artistically gifted than me.
Yeah, because I've never considered myself very artistic.
We're very creative.
I don't call myself an artist.
Well, we are.
Yeah, I know, I guess, but it's never, I know people, maybe it turns me off when some comics act like they're artists and they go up there, you're just doing fart jokes. And come on, dude, it's like, you're full of yourself.
You know, obviously.
I think that rubs me the wrong way of people acting like that they're more important and doing something that's more special and deeper. When you're just up there talking about your dick. And so I kind of feel like, who am I to say I'm an artist?
Well, I guess I look at it this way. I don't believe that I'm somehow an elite artist, and I don't feel like I don't find myself above people like at some sort of creative or intellectual level over and above my peers. But we it is an art form, and we do excel at it.
No, I feel like what I do with my art form, with comedy, with the murder mystery, with the creative things that I do with the podcast, I think we do a great job. But I don't, if someone was saying, hey, there's a room full of artists in that room, I don't want to go in that room. It doesn't
you're
sound like
right. I hear what you're saying. Out. Well, you're right, because, I mean, Robbie is, we are much more grounded than Robbie. Robbie, yes. Do you agree with this? Like, he's a much more, he's a more difficult personality than we are. And I know that has to do with some of his genius. It does. And Robbie, I mean, I have no idea if you know what he's capable of in terms of what he can do with like a pencil and things. I don't know if you know, but I mean, he's in the top.
I know about his pencil fighting in high school. I know.
Well, yes, he's excellent at pencil fighting, but he's like in the top 0.1% in terms of what he can create. But again, I mean, that manifests itself in a lot of other ways. That's why he has to make his coffee the night before. And that's why he's bagging his snacks, you know, 3 weeks out in advance. And that's why he has to have cranberry cocktail instead of drink. I mean, that's because of that. Robbie, are you with me or no?
No, I'm way more quirky than you guys. I there's no question about it. But I think that you guys, I don't diminish your guys' artistry. I think that when you have nothing and you create something from nothing, that's most people can't do that.
No, I recognize that a lot of this, like the murder mystery, I know it comes a lot easier to us than it would to most people. The fact that there's literally that nothing exists, and now there's a 90 minutes where people are entertained. I know that that's not something that the average person can do, but it's just like anything else. There's a lot of things people do that I have no way near I could do anything close to that. But I guess I just feel like that's just the thing I'm good at.
Yes, I'd much rather
make me
feel
like an artist.
I just saw the movie The Big Short. I'd much rather be good at that than at comedy.
I don't even know what that's about.
Well, if I explain, it's about the market.
Oh, okay, stock market. Hey, how did a guy on SNL hosted it last week that I've never heard of?
Who is it?
You haven't seen Star Wars?
No, but
you might not know who that is, but that's the bad guy in Star Wars.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
not on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but you would have never heard of him until then, right?
No, he was on the show Girls, which I hate. I don't watch it.
Right, I know that, but Rob, yes, you wouldn't have heard of him until he was in the highest grossing movie in American history. Yes, you're right.
But well, you didn't know he
now
was
you do
on
know
SNL.
Who. What's that?
You didn't know he was on SNL. You know his name?
No, but that's not because of him. That's
you know
because
his name?
Of SNL. What's
do you
his
know
name?
The actor's name?
Yeah, Kylo Ren.
No, you don't know the actor's name.
No, I don't.
So that's my point. You saw the movie.
Yeah, but I mean,
Adam
if
Driver,
I saw the ad for him, then I would immediately know who he was.
He's not in a mask in the movie?
Yeah, like but he Darth takes Vader. It off. It's not like, you know, he's
I
not
I don't know. I haven't seen
like
the
Darth
movie.
Vader. Well, that's not... Yeah, why are you yelling at me? It's
He has the mask
just
off
had the
part of
the biggest weekend in American
and
history.
Never
and you're yelling at me
you
because you haven't
name.
Seen it. We'll see it.
You're yelling at me like I'm wrong, and then I ask you what's his name, and you don't know it, which
well,
proves
yes,
that I'm
I know,
right.
But I know who he is.
Adam Driver hosts SNL. Who the fuck is that?
I understand that. But if you said, hey... whatever his name was, hosted SNL, I'd be like, yeah, that's Darth Vader, the new Darth Vader.
Yeah.
All right.
If you told me, Adam if you said, I didn't know, I couldn't think of his name right off the bat, but if you told me, you say, who's Adam Driver? Oh, I'd say he plays Kylo Ren in the new Star Wars.
No, I'd say that's Minnie Driver's brother.
that's still who I think it is. Well, I'd never heard of him, and I've heard of that character because people talk about it on Facebook, and I haven't seen the movie. I plan on seeing it though.
Wait,
did you guys like it?
I didn't like it.
You didn't
I thought it was
like
really, really, really derivative of the first one. So much so that there was no new story. Literally
Robbie.
No new story. Now, they knew what they were doing because they said, here's the formula. Listen, you know, it's done in a million art forms, but sometimes it doesn't work. Like if you see The Hangover 2, they basically do the same jokes that they did in Hangover 1. You see Dumb and Dumber 2?
Or if you watch our murder mystery shows.
Well, no, we evolve. Yeah. That's why in the first one, you do a phone call and a video. Second one, video and a dance number. Next one, dance number and original song. The next one, video, four, five, six songs and you know, yeah. four videos. Yeah, and another yeah. dance number that's twice as long.
Yeah, our budget's going up is what's happening.
God, I know.
Nobody ever heard of Mark Hamill before the first Star Wars.
Who's that? Well, Who's Mark Hamill?
I'm not saying clearly he's famous. He's hosting SNL. It's just that's the first time in my life someone was hosting out, and I've never heard that person.
Well, nobody
name
went.
You're out
nobody
of the
ever heard of Harrison Ford, and then he went on to be the biggest movie star in history. So I mean,
okay, but did he host SNL after he did a commercial or did a first did a movie?
Rob, this is on you. You're out of the loop.
Yeah, I'm
everybody's seen this movie.
You didn't even
way,
know
I don't.
Movie?
I don't know if Harrison Ford hosted Saturday Night Live because it was 1977, but probably he probably did.
He might have, yeah. But I bet I would have heard of his name. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, isn't you normally know who they are just by their name, right?
Yes, I know. Yes, you normally do. But I mean, this is obviously. Yes, I didn't know his name, and I didn't know who he was before.
When did Star Wars come out?
I don't know, like 4 weeks ago, Marcus
okay,
will know.
So
Marcus.
5 weeks ago, if he hosted SNL, it would be ridiculous, right?
Well, yes, of course it would be.
Okay.
But then
so
when he was in the biggest movie in history, it's not ridiculous. I mean, I know you get this. I know you understand it.
I get that I'm just saying the turnaround of having no one's ever heard his name before to he's hosting SNL is pretty quick. It's a month.
Yeah, that's true. But if you never heard of the new James Bond, and then, you know, Tom Johnson was the new James Bond, and then he hosted Saturday Night Live, you'd be like, oh, that's the new James Bond. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but he's playing James Bond. That's a character we've heard of. I never heard of Kylo Ren. It's in some
That. I understand that. I didn't know
he's playing Kylo Ren.
And I didn't know R2-3-2 or whatever the new droid is. But you learn them because it ends up being the most popular movie in history. Yes, you will know who this character is eventually.
Oh, fuck Adam Driver. I'm not seeing the movie now.
Also, Katie and Chad just says he's on like 10 talk shows a day now, too.
Well, clearly, he's on SNL. I mean, that when you get on SNL, you can do whatever you want. Murder mystery news. We're branching out. Going to the Virginia Beach Funny Bone at the club that I work quite often. The general manager there has been asking about the murder mystery. March 13th, it's a Sunday night. I'll be there on the 9th and the 10th, headlining. And then in between there, Pauly Shore will be there on the 11th and 12th. So I need something to do on the weekend.
You think Pauly Shore will be willing to do the murder mystery?
I will not talk to him. I don't know. I probably won't ever see him. Our paths won't cross, but maybe. But again, March 13th, if you're down in VA Beach, Hank and Laura Reuter, Richmond people, we're going to be bringing it there eventually. Don't have a date yet, but I will be there on February 3rd, headlining, and then February 4th through the 6th, featuring for Bert Kreischer. So you can actually – I would like Hank and Laura to see me on a real show where it's not like 40 people and I'm doing crowd work. So maybe they come on the weekend. They'll actually see me. Me just tell jokes, but whatever. And of course, as mentioned, David Koechner and myself this weekend, Comics Mohegan Sun.
I guarantee that Thursday somebody's going to be like, oh man, I'm loving this. I'm going to see David Koechner. Who's this other guy? I don't even know who this guy is.
100%. That's going to be everyone's thought.
Of course.
Thought. Yeah.
You think there's a big Rob Mayer following up in Connecticut?
Maybe if Mermelstein would tweet it out. Now, I have a bone to pick. When we had the end of the show music discussion about a month ago, and then we had the vote on Twitter, and we decided to keep it. It seems like ever since then, for whatever reason, the end of the show music is different. And I keep having people go on Facebook saying, hey, what's up with the music? I'm like, no worries. We're keeping it. And then another week goes by, and it's something different. So I look like an asshole. So what's
happening? Now they're changing the beginning music, too. So now we have a new song to open it and a new song to close it. That's on Marcus, right? Marcus, you're the one who's changed it, right?
Yeah, I'm the one that picks the end music on.
Marcus, we've
had a vote. It only took you 3 weeks to figure it out.
I don't listen to the whole show.
I noticed.
I hate the end of the – I hate the music at the end. No, you're just seeing how long it would take, basically.
Well, yes, that and the fact that it became such a big issue that there's a certain – portion of me that just says I'm gonna screw with it.
See, I told you
it's like it's not a big deal. Why was it a big deal?
It is a big deal because when I tell people, don't worry, nothing to be afraid, nothing to fear, it's staying. And then the next week, it's some dump da da da, and I look like an asshole.
People don't like
comforting the American people because the Russians are about to bomb us. Come on, it's the music at the tail end of the show.
It's important, Marcus. People come to count on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do, and there was a vote, too. Do you not recognize the American president after the November election? Do you say,
I voted for this other guy? That's who I fans.
That's who's my president is Walter Mondale. I will not recognize this other person.
I mean, Adam Thompson, he just asked us on our Facebook page. I told him, never fear. And he's like, what's up? And he's a Packers fan, so they just lost a heartbreaker. The guy's had a rough week. Give him the end of the show music that he's grown to love.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the Taiwan we got. That one I could understand.
Yeah, I get that. Now, what are you saying, Joe, about the beginning of the show music? What are you talking about?
Well, Robbie played Already Gone to open the show.
No, that was a special thing. It's not not going to do that every week. If a famous musician dies every week, you can do that. You can play their music.
Fair.
All right.
Hey, the last laugh maybe might be the last performance, so come to Easton, Maryland.
Yeah, if
yes,
you're listening to the show from
Maryland.
Yeah, from Annapolis to Ocean City. This is going to be maybe an hour drive for you. And if you're in Easton, dude, come on. You're in Easton. What else is there to do? Nothing. So,
one last story, Joe. Hula hoop.
Oh, yeah. This is pretty great. I went to the Maryland-Ohio State basketball game. Now, I believe, Rob, you are first and foremost an Ohio State fan, correct?
Yeah, my family, my dad is went to Ohio State. They're from Columbus, so it's been ingrained in me as a child. So I root for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and I got to see Maryland play Ohio State. They had the misfortune of playing Maryland after they just lost their first conference game to Michigan, and they were not very happy. And they went on to throttle.
Yeah, it was ugly.
They were up by 43 points at one point, and then they let the foot off the gas, won by 35. But they're in the halftime show. The best halftime show, by the way, is the dog catching the frisbee. The second best halftime show is Gymkhana. However, third best is the Gymkhana, where they put the mats and the horses out there, and people jump over them, and they keep getting more fantastical and jumping higher.
There's horses
jumping, not real horses, but the like the gymnastics horse.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, but third is the hula hoop girl. Now, the hula hoop girl takes an unknown number of hula hoops. At the very end, she puts like 30 hula hoops around her and hula hoops them.
It's amazing.
But, yeah, it's a pretty good show. So I'm watching it. And my friend Krabby, who's the half owner of Acme Bar and Grill, he took me. And I, some conversation you and I always have, if you're at a dinner party, how hilarious if you talk to somebody, what do you do for a living? And they say, I'm a professional hula hooper, right?
Right.
We've had this conversation before. What's the worst thing that you can be? No lie, the girl who works for Coors, she has a friend with her. Okay? This friend's name is Morgan. I won't forget that. She goes, I am a hula hooper. This girl happened to be a professional. It was her rival was out there. It was a girl stealing her gigs. What are the chances? It's got to be more than Powerball that I would say that. And she wasn't fucking with me either, because she had all these stories about what she did and how she could do it and where she learned and doing a hula hooping in Michigan. She was literally the exact same person as the girl that was out there. Her name was Morgan the Hula Hooper. Maybe she's famous. I don't know. But
maybe.
But when I asked that question, immediately I met a professional hula hooper who goes, yeah, what's wrong with that? That's what I do.
You can make a living just hula hooping?
I didn't ask her anymore. I was more like, is this true? Are you telling the truth? Are you messing with me? But she also looked like she was getting a little offended. Like I was calling her a liar. So I didn't
push her name Morgan Windsor?
Is that, I don't know her last name. No, if you show me a picture of her, I'd recognize her. She went to Michigan State. I know that.
I'm just on Facebook and looking at hula hoopers. What do you think's less likely? You meet someone who's a professional hula hooper or a sword swallower?
I mean, I think it would be the same, right? Yeah. I mean, there's many.
Are you attracted to that? Does that like turn you on? If some girl says she's a professional hula hooper?
No. I mean, she was good looking, right? So that was the only thing that would, but the fact that she was a hula hooper I didn't care about that.
You know, she's got the hip action. I mean, you know how it works.
Well, Katie says that that's common now because of raves, and girls go to raves and hula hoop all the time.
Well, they don't get paid.
Oh, well, I didn't ask her how much she made.
Well, the next time we have a live performance at a place that Mickey will own that will go out of business, let's have a hula hooper. Let's have that. Let's hire this girl.
How am I going to find a hula hooper?
I don't know. Find your buddy who'll find that girl, and we'll get this girl.
I could actually find that girl because
we'll find that girl.
The girl that's her friend is the girl who got us the tickets because she works for Miller Coors.
What do you think if we said we want you to hula hoop for 2 hours? What do you think she would charge?
I don't think it's physically possible, right?
It's a 2 hour. It's like a band. You have some breaks, but she's gonna hula hoop from 8 to 10. She'll have a couple breaks in there.
I think she'd say no, depending on the.
Well, I don't know what's an hour. What's a normal session last?
I mean, this girl hula hoop for how long's halftime?
Okay, we wanted a hula hoop for 15 minutes.
But it wasn't 15 minutes because, they had to warm up before, they come out 3 minutes before the
buzzer. Seriously, $200, $100, $500, I have no idea.
I mean, it can't be that much. Katie's telling me there are hundreds of people who do this.
I've never met one. So you met a hula hooper. I'm going to beat Marcus Serta. So we're one and one.
You didn't meet anyone you tried out for America's Got Talent, Rob?
Oh, yeah. There was some. I think there was some hula hoopers there. God, that was.
Is it harder to hula hoop or baton throw?
I think baton. Because everyone has hula hooped at one point in their life.
Dude, I knew a competitive baton thrower. So do you.
Get it. Who?
Remember the girl who, Heidi Shoemaker? You remember her? She used to.
That's right.
She was a.
I want her
thing
too.
What's that?
I want her at our live event too.
I don't know if she knows how to do it anymore. She came to one of the murder mysteries with
Michael
her husband.
I want Chamberlain doing magic. I want Morgan the hula hooper, and I want Heidi the baton thrower.
All right. I mean, I don't. I know how to get hold of all three. All Heidi's right. A Facebook friend. I'll ask Krabby about the hula hooper, and Robbie, we need Marcus to saw one of them in half.
And then I want a sketch artist there, and then everyone's going to show up and try to guess what they think Eric the actor looks like, and then we'll post the pictures, and Eric will tell us which one's the closest online.
That's a good idea. Hey, Robbie, before we go, has Mike Chamberlain ever sawed a woman in half?
I don't think he does that trick.
Amateur.
Loser.
He makes somebody float.
Oh, okay. That's actually better. Next week, we'll be back, and hopefully Robbie's Super Bowl prediction will be true. You have Carolina and New England, right, Robbie?
I do.
Wow.
We have a ton of shows coming up, guys. Comedy and murder mysteries.
February is massive.
Go to joerobinsoncomedy.com. No matter where you live, there's a likelihood that we will be near you. We are in basically every county in Maryland and Virginia.
No matter where you live?
No. No matter where you live.
Okay. No matter where you live.
Exaggeration, but
in Maryland. All right.
Or Virginia.
Or Virginia. No matter where you live in this very, very tiny corner of the world.
We have podcast listeners overseas, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, they can't see us.
No, that's fuck them. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.